At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more. Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills. Accelerate your team's impact and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
I just realized, like, clearly I believe in God, and clearly my God believes in me enough to keep me around.
I love that.
I should be dead.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And after having that realization, I don't know at what point, I'm just like, I must be his favorite. He's, you know, I have to be.
You have to be, yeah.
And that's how I've lived my life ever since. And I literally have arguments about this with people all the time. Anyone who says they're God's favorite, I'm like,
Come on now, I got stories.
Exactly.
I've got proof.
I got proof. So feel me when I bring it, sing it loud.
I'm from the loop and I'm proud. Run a mile for the cause, I'm right. Hi guys, it's your girl Nechama, your favorite Jew from the Lou. Welcome back to my podcast. And normally all of my guests are not really seasoned. They've never been on a podcast before. But I was so excited when I asked my good friend Etty to come on, and she had already said she'd been on a podcast. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be a breeze. We're going to have the best time ever.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't call myself seasoned, but I have done one podcast in my life.
Yeah. Well, I will say it took probably till I got past 6 episodes till I wasn't sweating through my clothes. There's just a lot behind doing a podcast that I don't think people realize.
Yes.
But it's really fun.
It is fun.
You just chill. We're just going to chit chat and talk about all the good stuff. So today I want to talk about how I take total credit for the fact that you're a New Yorker now.
You should take full credit.
I know. So back end, we're both local St. Louisian girls, and you were here in college.
No.
You were not in college? I thought you were in college.
Oh, actually, I was in college.
Thank you.
It was COVID.
Okay.
So I was on Zoom in college.
How is that long ago?
Yes.
Was that 4 years ago at this point?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. And I remember you were between COVID and the fact that it was like a lot of people were kind of not living in St. Louis anymore. There wasn't such a big social life for like your age.
Yeah.
So I remember you telling me you were so bored. And I was like, listen, don't do what I do. Do what I say. Because I stayed.
Yeah.
And I tell a lot of girls to leave.
Yes.
And you listened.
I did.
Okay. Tell the story.
Like you said, it was COVID. I was bored to death. There wasn't very much happening socially or anything because it was COVID.
Right.
Also, it was hard being like an adult, like transitioning from like high school and like going away to Israel for a year and then coming back and living at home was a very interesting transition because like you wanted to like be independent and be an adult, but at the same time you're living at your parents' house, which is like a very like confusing time.
Because your parents don't realize how much you've grown up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like it worked, but it definitely didn't give like the most growth, because it also like you go back to what you know. So you just go back to being the kid that your parents expect you to be.
Well, let's also not forget another really good friend, Leora, who I also got to move out of St. Louis.
Yes.
She told me, so for those of you who don't know, a lot of girls in the Jewish Orthodox community and even not in the Orthodox community will take a gap year between their senior year and college, and they'll go and study abroad in Israel. And that year is called their seminary year. And so one thing about Israel that's really unique is the legal age for drinking is, what, 18? So you can buy alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I'm not even talking about being like a partier or being an alcoholic. Even if you want to just buy wine for someone who, like a dinner party or just have like
drinking it normally, you can totally do that. And I remember Leora telling me how weird that was for her to come back to the States and then still be considered like a child.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Also, it's like the first year where you like live independently, where you kind of figure out who you are outside of what you've always known. And like St. Louis is a great place
To grow up.
To grow up. But it is kind of confining to Being you are exactly who you are and you have a place. And that, at least that's what I always felt. It's like you are, I had 7 girls in my grade. You had your place in your grade. You had your place in your school. You had your place in the community. And like, it was very hard and it hasn't happened yet. So it's continuing to be hard to make yourself be something that isn't what everyone thought of you since you were 3, because that's what everyone knows you as.
Yeah.
So when you want to change that, it's hard for people to kind of see you as something different.
Yeah. In my experience, I think it was easier for me to stay living with my parents simply because I never went to seminary.
Right.
So I didn't have that experience. I grew up slower in a certain sense, but it was also very different because for me, I went to college a month out of graduating from Bisiaco. So that was a huge culture shock.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah. There's a lot of stories we can't share, but we know. But then I was still super religious all throughout my college years, and I think partially that was due to the fact that so many people thought that because I didn't go to seminary and I went straight to college That I wouldn't be religious. Mm-hmm. And my personality is very much like, oh, so you think I'm not going to be religious?
Yeah,
you need to. I'll show you.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really feel like it was so hard to be religious in college. I don't know. For me, it really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to my first job and I was working out in Chesterfield. And I remember feeling like I was like having my little Hannah Montana moment where I had 2 lives, where I had the life here, like you said, in the community Where I was who I always was. And I think you guys were still here at the time.
Yes, we were probably in high school at that point.
How we know each other.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about
that. We forgot about that. Let's backtrack a little bit. So there's a 4-5 year age gap between us. I'm 28. You were
23.
Okay.
So 5 years.
5 years. There's a 5-year age gap, which now means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But like you were in 7th grade when I was your BNOS leader, which is a youth group leader.
Yes.
That's a program our high school has where like on our Shabbos, we are different girls are connected with younger girls and we lead them. We play games and it's really cute. But I was lazy because I live like 20 minutes from where everyone meets at the school. And I was like, you guys are too old to go to BNOS. You probably don't want to go there. You should come to my house. It'll be so much more fun.
We had a lot of fun.
It was so much better.
Oh, yeah. We stayed. It's usually, BNOS is usually 2 hours, but we always stayed till the end of Shabbos and we always hung out and we had a really good time.
Yeah. And it extended past then. Like I was your leader in 7th grade and then 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys were in high school yourself at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But you still came to me
on
the Shabbos that you guys weren't doing, but it was you came to my house. Uh-huh. And it really was until you guys graduated. It was all throughout your high school experience. Honestly, It wasn't until you guys went to seminary that stopped.
Yeah.
It was such a special time.
It was. It was really nice.
I loved it. Yeah. It was so great.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
It was really fun. And it was really, I think, like I said before about boxes, I think it was like a good opportunity to get away from like being in the typical, like, what everyone was used to box, at least for me.
And yeah.
We got to just, like, hang out and be ourselves in a different environment, which I think.
We had a lot of real conversations, yeah, too. I think also, like, a lot of people, clearly I'm not, like, super Orthodox.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills. Accelerate your team's impact. And redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Anymore, but like back in the day, I was, and you look at my mom, she definitely still is. And a lot of people on the outside look at people who are like super religious and they'll think that they're narrow-minded. But that was never the case with my family, like never. At all. And I know a lot of people who really aren't like that either.
Same.
There are. Yeah. There aren't. It yes. just depends, like anything else. Mm-hmm. And so I think having the opportunity for you guys to come here and just be and ask your questions and you're not being judged and no one's going to run and tell the principal on you.
Right.
You know, like it really was a time in your teenage years when people want to explore and ask a lot of questions that you had that safe space.
Yeah. It's kind of like having like a big sister.
Yeah. That's exactly how I viewed it.
Yeah.
And I also felt like I think there was your group of girls. There's some other girls in the community who I like tutored. And I felt like while I was in that stage of my life that I also stayed religious longer than mm-hmm. maybe I wanted to, because I wanted to be a good role model for you. But then there comes a certain point when you have to think like, am I doing this for me or am I doing this for other people?
Right.
But regardless, I knew living in St. Louis, a lot of people come here for college. There's UMSL, which is great scholarships. Mm-hmm. But I know how hard it can be to date, especially if you're trying to do it the Orthodox way.
Right.
And then also a social life. Sometimes there's a lot of girls who live here. Sometimes there's not. And even if they are here, they're all trying to rush and get married. And then yes. they're most likely not going to stay here. So I knew from experiencing that, like, yeah, it's so tempting for you guys to stay here for college and get those great scholarships. But I was like, if you are going to stay for college, stay, but you must promise me that you're going to leave. But the reality of the world is you really should go to college on the East Coast or a bigger community, because then you're going to get a job where you went to college because it's an easier transition. Mm-hmm. It's harder to get it. Nowadays with remote, it might be a little bit easier, but it is harder. Plus you have your roots. You know the city. You have your friends. You have the people you go to for Shabbos. Mm-hmm. That was my perspective, but you actually took my advice and did it. What was that like for you going from St. Louis to living in Manhattan?
So it was crazy. First of all, it was COVID.
Right.
So there was nobody in Manhattan.
Mm.
I went to college in Turo, so we lived in a dorm too, and there was nobody in the dorm. There was 20 of us all together in this 400 plus like bed apartment building, basically in the middle of Manhattan on the Upper West Side. And it was very interesting to like, first, on one hand, we watched the city come back to life.
That's probably kind of cool.
It was so cool. I remember the first time I was walking, we would go to Times Square all the time because we lived like 15-minute walk, and there was no people.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I remember when Broadway opened back up, and like I had to veer off the sidewalk to get around people, and I was like, "What is this? Why are there people?" And then I realized, oh, that's what it's supposed to be. And I'm just used to it.
Yeah.
Not how it's supposed to be.
That's wild.
It was so wild. It was so much fun.
In a way, it's probably better for you.
Yeah. It definitely helped the transition because it wasn't overwhelming mm-hmm. As much. Like, it was, like, very peaceful, actually.
Yeah.
Which is not something you would usually talk about the city as. No,
never.
But it was oddly very peaceful. So it definitely helped with the transition, but I loved it. I loved it. I remember you told me to leave
mm-hmm.
and I had the opportunity to leave. And I remember walking somewhere in St. Louis by myself and just thinking about it and then being like, you know what? I think I'm going to take this opportunity because you never know where it's going to lead you. And like, why not take as much opportunity as you can while you're still able to do it?
Exactly. And I always told you too, you can always come home.
Yes. And so I did that. And mm-hmm. I think my mindset about New York and the cool thing about Manhattan, and I've experienced this time and time again, and I'm sure I will continue to experience this, is that the East Coast, forget the Jewish side of it, even though it is a very big Jewish community and there is a lot of Jewish life there, probably the most on like this side of the ocean, like besides Israel. That's where it, that's where it's happening.
Right.
But just, it is, when I lived in Manhattan, it is one of the biggest cities in the entire world. The amount of opportunities, the amount of people that you can meet, the amount of places you can see and the culture you get to experience, you don't get that in the small town.
No.
And I remember going and making a very conscious effort. I remember sitting in my dorm room and being like, I'm not going to just live in Manhattan and just be in my dorm. I'm going to go experience the city, and I'm going to not take for granted the fact that I live in one of the craziest cities in the world. I live 2 blocks away from, I'm now blanking on what it's called, Central Park. So,
oh, that's so great.
Yes. Like,
you were in prime realty, yes, honestly.
Prime real estate. And yeah. I was not going to let that, even though I was in college and I was a bio major and I had a ton of work and I tried to balance it the best I could. But like, I was like, I'm not going to let opportunities slide away from me, especially not in this city, coming from where I came from.
Yep.
And I've met unbelievable people. I've had really cool experiences. And I'm just so grateful that I should be grateful to you, first of all, and that I made that choice to kind of mushroom. And
that's our favorite thing.
That is our favorite thing.
Another thing we used to do was Friday night. So men go to shul all the time, or synagogue all the time. Women, we don't have to. Exactly. Can if we want to. We did for the boys.
Yes, we did.
Well, let's be real. Kind of for the boys, but there really isn't always boys in St. Louis. So it was really more for the vibes.
Yeah.
Like, there was gorgeous singing a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Sometimes not. Sometimes yes. Either way, it was entertaining.
Yes.
And then we just had a really cute group of girls who went, and I really went for that. That was so nice.
Yes, it was really nice.
But there was one time, and I think it was Rosh Hashanah, when the rabbi was talking. And instead of saying, I don't even remember what he was talking about.
I don't either.
But instead of talking about like, oh, something was blossoming or growing, he was like, oh, it mushroomed. And for some reason, that just hit our funny bones so hard. And ever since then, we've been like saying it. Although you forgot.
I did. I forgot for a second. For 1 second. But it's back.
Yeah. It's so fun. It's just a fun thing. It just kind of makes me be like,
yeah.
Okay, it works, but I don't know if I would have used that to describe anything.
Definitely.
It just brings back really good memories.
Yeah. But it definitely shaped me into it made me grow up in a really healthy, a really positive way. Going to New York, yes.
Yes. Sorry,
transition back.
No worries. I actually do have a question for you, though.
Sure.
Because, I mean, this is a reality of anyone who's not living with their parents. Mm-hmm. In today's economy, everyone needs roommates, at least one, because forget about it. But in New York, that was always the reality. New York was always so astronomically high, you had to have roommates. Mm-hmm. And so I remember part of the hardest transition you had in the beginning was your roommates.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
First of all, women living together, probably not the greatest idea in the world.
It's really not. it's a new level. Well, first, there's two parts. I moved during COVID. And I lived with one person. Mm-hmm. And we both had because it was COVID, the rules of the college were we each had to have our own room. And we had to have, and we could share living spaces because we lived in the same apartment.
Right.
But these apartments were made for at least 5 people to 10 people.
Oh.
So there was a ton of space.
That's actually really nice.
It was beautiful. Like I said, I moved to New York. I lived in royalty.
Yeah.
It was 2 people in a space that was meant for 5 people. So it was great. My friend was dating at the time, so I had a lot of time for myself. That was a whole different transition. That was a different story. But I came back to college for my second year, and it was back to normal. COVID was kind of over, whatever. It was what it was. And I went from having 1 roommate to 4 roommates. And it was a really big transition. It was really hard.
Oh, yeah.
I also live with 4 type A people. And they were all type A in their own unique way. Mm-hmm. So you had to try to figure out what each person wanted.
I like how you said that, because it's not just type A and type B personalities. Yeah. Like there's so many nuances to what make people who they are.
Yes. And so it definitely was a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely taught me a lot about A, living with people,
mm-hmm.
and also about myself. And it made me grow in ways I never thought. Like, and it also really was a struggle. It was really hard. I struggled a lot with feeling like constantly like either inadequate because like I was trying to keep up with these girls and also just like trying to like stay on their good side.
That's so different than your experiences with the girls here too.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
And also like it was interesting. I'm a partier. And it's interesting to see how like for people who craved the positivity and the fun and the need for like excitement, they suppressed it because they were so busy like being anxious in their own unique ways
that they missed out.
They did, and they would use me as a way to get that. So that was also like an added pressure, was to like be the excitement of the apartment. It was a very interesting dynamic. But with time, we figured it out. I learned so much communication. I learned how to give. I learned how to take. I learned how to just
set boundaries.
Yes.
Probably a lot.
Yes, for sure. And also, I think what was a really important thing for me was to have friends outside
mm-hmm.
my apartment, because like everyone was kind of homebodies. We were always around, and it wasn't necessarily the healthiest thing that everyone was always on top of each other. So I made a big effort to expand my friends, and I have a great group of college friends. We call ourselves the frat.
I love that.
We drink college away together, which is totally illegal in our dorm, but we just...
Every college does that.
We sat there and we drank. I remember one time I had the flu, and I was like kind of getting over it, but I was still really sick. And one of my friends texted me, come down, we're drinking wine. And I was like, guys, I'm sick, I have the flu. And they're like, nah, it's fine. And I drank a bunch of wine, and the next day I was totally fine. And now,
would you look at that?
Now our thing is wine is the best antioxidant, and we stand by it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had some great times, and I've made some really cool, really good friends.
Yeah. See, when I was pushing you to go, I had no idea exactly to what extent it would be, and I knew mm-hmm. whatever it was going to be hard.
Yes.
I will say, I don't remember the name of the book right now. What I'll do is I'll post a little clip right here. It's fictional, but there's this book that I'm reading that, okay, recently I've just been very sensitive and I cry a lot when I read. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And so this book really just touched me because it talks about choices. And there's two parts to it, right? Like sometimes you have opportunities and it's like, yeah, your comfort would be to stay where you are, but like what you did was you saw an opportunity, you took that leap of faith, and you gained so much. Now, was it easy? Was it like a perfect, like, oh, this is me coming to Manhattan and this is my coming of age story? Like now looking back, you can give us the highlight reel, but it was really hard at times.
Yes.
And you're just kind of glossing over that right now. Yes. But at the same time, there was some freaking awesome times that you had as well, because that's life.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to choose how you look back and tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we make choices and we look back and we're like, huh, I wonder if I should have done it differently. And I think for me, that's why like there was one opportunity that I potentially could have had to move to New York, and I didn't take it. And there's a few reasons why I didn't take it, but that's why I always kind of had that nagging thought in the back of my mind where it's not that my life would have been better or worse. It would have just been different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I know what happens because I didn't go. So there's just a matter of trusting your life. But this story talks about this woman who, you know, my dad got sick when I was 20. He got stage 3 colon cancer. And then he had various health issues when I was around 22, 23. He had a stroke actually in my arms, which ended up resulting in him getting dementia. And so I think a part of me, just being a homebody in general, but also seeing my dad go through that, I just wasn't ready to leave home yet. I knew I probably would be missing out on a lot of opportunities, but I'm a late bloomer in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I think if I was holding where I'm holding right now in my early 20s, I for sure would have gone to New York, but I'm in a very different place than I was then.
Yes.
And so in this book, this girl, her mom actually dies when she's in her 20s, and she was in college in London. She was going to open up this really cool like restaurant when she was done, but because of what happened, she ended up moving back to her small town. Her parents had a diner. Her dad was dyslexic, so he knew how to run the social part of it, but he couldn't run like the numbers in the back end of it. Mm-hmm. And so she came to help with the back end of the business. Fast forward 10 years, she's 33. She's still there. She had given up the love of her life because he had an opportunity to be a sports medicine doctor down in Florida. And I think you would really like this book, actually. And she ends up being there. Her little sister is now 20 because she had a little sister who was 12 at the time. So she kind of stayed home to help raise her and help her have the opportunities. And she kind of put her life on the back burner to take care of her family. Mm-hmm. And she just kind of feels stuck. She starts to wonder, like, what if, right? Because she's at a job where her dad's kind of stuck in the mud, doesn't want to change the restaurant. The love of her life got married and has two kids, or one kid, and lives in Florida. And she just hasn't really lived her dream. And she's just like, everything's kind of the same. It's humdrum every single day. And so her very, what's the word? I don't know. Her very funky aunt has these three magical lemon drops. And each of these drops you take before you go to sleep, and you get to live one day of a life if you would have chosen a different path. Mm-hmm. So the 3 days that she picks is one day if her mom hadn't died. Mm-hmm. One, if she would have not come home and stayed and done her restaurants. And then third is if she would have ended up with the love of her life. Mm-hmm. And you have to read the book. I'm not going to tell you anymore. But basically the whole point of the story is like, don't worry about what ifs and, oh, maybe I should have done that. Like, this comes down to our deep faith. Mm-hmm. And it's just that God has a plan for you. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different ways that you can get to exactly where you're supposed to get to. But God will always get you exactly where you need to be. So don't worry. It's like, you didn't foil God's plan. It's exactly. Not like, oh, because you stayed here or because you didn't take this. God has a way of getting everything together exactly when it's supposed to.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. So now, what was your degree in the end?
I have a degree in biology.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, look, what are you doing now that you're done with college? Nothing
related.
Okay.
So I slaved over chemistry. I cried over chemistry.
Yeah.
I cried over physics. I got so much stress acne.
Oh. Of
bio, and I don't even use it. I might one day go back to school and use it, but for now, I am very happily not in school.
Yeah, what are you doing now?
So it's a funny question because I don't really know. So when anyone asks me that, I'm
so like, sorry, but this is such a Jewish kind of answer because it's like, what do you do? Listen, I do business. Like, yeah. What do you mean? Yeah. Like, I make money. Exactly. You know, it's because of my business, not your business. Exactly. I saw that the other day. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. I work in compliance in a social service company. So in New York, there's a lot of social services. It's probably the best social services in the country.
Yeah.
And so I do the compliance and the QA and the clinical side of making sure that our providers who provide the social services, they do it according to the laws of Medicaid, because it's all Medicaid funded and they need to make sure that everything is done correctly. Otherwise, that's fraud. So I try to prevent fraud.
It's cool. It sounds cool.
Yeah, it's a lot cooler sounding than what it is.
That's every job.
Yeah.
That's every job. Yeah.
But it's definitely interesting to be at like a real desk with like two computer screens.
Feel like a real grown up.
Imposter syndrome.
Oh my God. Well, I started working when I was 20.
Yeah.
So I really felt like an imposter. Yeah. I would do my hair, my makeup. I would dress way older than I was just to prove that I was meant to be there. But I remember so many times where like it took me years to get over the anxiety to share my opinions because I didn't feel like I was smart enough or had what to contribute. And I would get like crippling shyness and anxiety.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when I would be brave enough to say something and be like, oh yeah, that's a really good point. And I remember going back to my desk and I'd be like, they think I'm a grown up. Yeah. I'm like, what a joke.
I have like 70 people underneath me.
Wow.
So
say that, see?
It's weird. It's so odd. I'm like, I don't have the right to tell you what to do. I don't even cook dinner in the nighttime. Like,
girl, dinner.
Exactly. I don't know why you're listening to me, but yeah, here I am telling you you need to change it.
My experience has been that, you know, after a while you get life experience and you do mm-hmm. feel like you know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But I mean, honestly, I think the best mentality for success is to think that everything is figured outable.
Yep.
That's my favorite quote.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's nothing that you can't figure out. You are so capable. You just have to just kind of jump right into it.
Yes.
I'm in the process of doing that right now because there's also a certain ego involved with what degree you get mm-hmm. where you're like, but I spent all this money and I should do what I've been telling everybody for so long that I'm going to do this mm-hmm. career.
That was me. That was actually me.
But I'm really proud of you that you didn't cling too long to that if that really wasn't what felt right for you.
Yeah.
Because I did. And I was a graphic designer for 8 years. I'm still currently doing graphic design because it pays the bills. Mm-hmm. And until my business can pay my bills, I'm kind of working two jobs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Technically three, because this is a job as well. There's a lot involved. I'm just not getting paid for this yet, but I will one day too. So all of it's just investing in myself.
Mm-hmm.
But so I will say it on here. And if it's not true yet, then I'll just clip it out by the time I post it. But hopefully by the time this is aired, I'm going to have my e-commerce site for my own coffee brand called Le Café. Thank you so much. I went through a quarter life, a little post-quarter life, because I'm 28, but a little post-quarter life crisis where I just have worked as a graphic designer in a lot of different environments. I worked in a Fortune 500 company, my first job. There was over 5,000 employees in the whole company, 500 at our location. And that was amazing. You know, I learned a lot. Every job you learn from, you mm-hmm. take skill sets from. No one can take that from you. And then I worked for a commercial real estate company. It was like a mom and pop kind of company. There was like 40 employees maybe when I first started. By the time I left almost four years later, there was over 100 employees and multiple companies under their umbrella. Mm-hmm. So they really grew, and I grew with them in confidence, skill set, everything. And then I worked for the contractor, a design agency. So we do like package design, which was like, oh, well, this will be even more creative. This is going to be awesome. And then I just realized that I am not meant to sit behind a computer desk all day. So I'm like, okay, well, what do I want to do? Like, that is such a scary feeling when you're like,
yep,
I spent all this money. I went to school for this. I can't just shell out thousands of more dollars for another thing. What do I want? And then I was okay. First question, if money didn't matter, let's play the fun game for a second. If money didn't matter, what do I love? I love coffee. I love chit chatting. And I love reading. So I'm going to be opening up a brick and mortar store eventually. But first, we're going to start with the e-commerce, sell that, create like a relationship with the St. Louis community. And on Instagram too, also like, it's all online. So there's going to be a lot of really cool like marketing plans that we have for that. So stay awesome. Tuned. That's go follow. Awesome. Yeah. Go follow lecafe.clayton on Instagram. There's we'll see. Maybe by then we'll have something posted, but even now just like follow it so you can like be in the now. That'd be so great. And it's just so scary and so exciting. But the thing is like, the thing about running a business, I was always scared to do it because mm-hmm. there's no security and I craved security.
Yes.
There's something about having a job that's 9 to 5. And yeah, maybe it's not amazing, but when you're done, you get to go live your life. It pays mm-hmm. for your hobbies and the life that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times you come home from that job and you're so tired that you just don't have the energy to really live your life and you feel mm-hmm. drained. And then also your employer gets to dictate to you what you're worth.
Yes.
And really the best way to, fun fact, the best way to raise your salary is to switch jobs, because that's when you're otherwise like a 3% raise with the 8%, you know, inflation rate, you're not getting mm-hmm. anything. So you're going to want to probably change jobs every 3 to 5 years if you're going to stay in corporate.
Yes.
I would say.
Fun. That is a sad fun fact.
Fun fact. Side note, mm-hmm. my mom doesn't age.
I know.
She doesn't. She looks phenomenal, which is great for me. I'm yeah. single.
Okay. Oh. That was actually really funny.
I have a round face, and my mom also did. And I had chubby cheeks, which my mom also did. She didn't lose hers till she was 20. I'm still shedding mine. But my aunt used to tell me when I was little, because I was so frustrated because I looked so much younger than I did, and mm-hmm. chubby cheeks just is not fun when you're past a certain age. It's cute for everyone else, not so cute for you.
Yeah.
And my aunt was like, no, you don't get it. She's like, when you're in your 30s and you still look like you're in your 20s and all your friends who are itty skinny are starting to have wrinkles and their skin's starting to like sag in, mm-hmm. she's like, you're going to look so much younger than all of your peers. And I'm like, great. Another 10 years to look forward to that. But I'm almost 30. So this is exciting.
Yeah.
I've accepted my fate.
Also, if you look like your mom, you're doing great.
Oh, I know. You know, my mom had an oily complexion. Not so much anymore, but that really helps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So any of you girls or guys out there with oily complexions, you're going to age great.
I just wear sunscreen.
Hmm. That you should do that anyways.
Yeah. That's my hack.
Yeah. I just be happy.
Yeah. Don't stress.
I think that's big. Yeah. So you moved from, oh my gosh, ADHD, ADD. This is, our friendship is so much fun.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
It's a little crazy.
I like can't talk about on air what we talk about, but let me just say though, like, okay, the other thing about me, and I think you're kind of the same way too, where you're like low maintenance friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there's also something about like the friends you grow up with, yeah. especially from St. Louis, where it's like you cannot see each other for years and then you see each other and it's like no time has passed.
Yes.
And you just have that much more to catch up on.
Mm-hmm.
But you just flow into a rhythm.
Yes.
Meanwhile, we haven't talked in person probably in a few years.
Yeah.
I want to say it's been a few years.
It's been years.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. It's on me too.
Okay. But we see each other in person. I'm not going to say what we talked about, but what we did not talk about was we did not talk about, I had no idea what she was doing for a living.
Yeah.
She had no idea what I was doing for a living. Nope. I forgot to ask. She forgot to ask. And then also my mom was like, because it's Passover right now. And she was like, oh, well, is anyone coming for Pesach? Like, what's she doing with her family? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't ask. I don't care. Like, just, what did you guys talk about for hours? I'm like, girl stuff, it's fine. It's so great.
Yeah.
But anyways, we have a lot of fun because we're both squirrel brains and we just goof off. And we also used to go on walks on Shabbos as groups mm-hmm. on Friday nights when the rabbi was speaking. Sometimes we were holy. Sometimes we went for walks.
Yes.
But regardless, when we went for walks, you and I think it is not noted enough how important it is to find a friend who walks at the same
time. I was going to say the same thing.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh.
For all you boys out there, or men, whatever, who think that girls all walk really slow, no, they don't. No, they do not. We have fast friend walkers. We're the slow friends.
Yeah.
And it is glorious.
So nice. My theory is either you walk or you run. There's no walk fast. Why do we need to walk fast? You either run or you walk.
Literally.
Just enjoy.
And by the way, it's not the heels. No. It's not the heels. Because I was wearing sneakers last time. And we were still I like a nice stroll. Mm-hmm. I like a stroll.
Yeah. Where are we going? Where are we rushing? It's a walk.
I've got nowhere to be.
It's like one thing if you're trying to get somewhere, but like when you're just walking for pleasure, why are you walking so fast?
Yeah, I can walk fast if I need to.
Yeah, same.
But
we're not walking.
But I think that is like one of those quiet luxuries that isn't talked about enough.
Yeah.
Where it's like when you don't have to think about the pace of your walk when you're with someone.
Yes.
It's literally so lovely.
You don't have to say, slow down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or you're not feeling like, I need to walk faster.
And like you're out of breath a little secretly.
Secretly.
You're like,
I'm huffing and puffing. I'm like, oh my God. And I go to the gym, I do my cardio.
Same.
But it's rough. Yeah. It's a rough life out there.
Yes, it is.
So you moved from Manhattan and now you're a Brooklyn girl.
I am.
How did that happen? Well, you finished college.
I graduated.
Yeah.
And then I moved out. Well, I wasn't allowed to live in the dorm anymore. So I moved.
Oh yeah.
That's cool how it works.
Yeah.
So I moved to Brooklyn. I have a couple good friends in Brooklyn. So mm-hmm. I was like, you know, fun fact, looked from a place in Manhattan for the entire summer after I was taking two classes and then I was done. Mm-hmm. So during that summer, I looked for an apartment in Manhattan because I loved Manhattan. I have so many friends in the Manhattan Upper West Side community. Amazing people, just such an interesting lifestyle, especially to raise kids in a very city-like place.
Yeah.
As like a college kid who like needed some love, I guess, I would just hang out with these new friends and families. And I love that community. It's an unbelievable community. And I really wanted to stay, but Manhattan is Manhattan. It was not worth paying the amount to get the amount of space. I remember walking into an apartment and like it would be shared between four people. There was no space for four people. So I had friends in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn is a very good place to start off as a mm-hmm. Jewish young person.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunities there too. Got a good deal on an apartment because it was a friend. And moved down, and it definitely was sad because Manhattan was fun and exciting, and there was always something to do and look at. And we lived right next to Central Park, and we live right next to the West Side Highway, which there's another park right next to it. We live 15 minutes away from Times Square, and any train ride, you were anywhere fun you wanted to be.
Yeah. How are the trains now?
They're scary.
Okay. TikTok makes it look real scary.
It's not as bad.
That's what I figured.
It's not as bad as like, yeah. Yeah. There's only one time I was scared for my life.
Really?
Yes. But.
What happened?
I was on the train and I like looked at a homeless guy for too long.
Mm.
Like, fun fact, I moved to New York and I was like, from St. Louis, if you don't say hello to someone on the street, that's rude.
Right.
And I remember walking in Central Park. Also, there wasn't that many people. And I'd be like, hey, good morning, good afternoon. And people would look at me like I was from Mars.
Oh, yeah.
And my friends were like, you can't do that. That's not safe. And I was like, what are you talking about? Right. Everybody does that. So it was definitely a learning curve to like mm-hmm. learn to, you know, keep to myself.
Mind your business.
Yeah. And I was on a train once and I looked at a homeless guy for too long, as in I like glanced in his direction. Happens to be, I'm pretty sure he was misogynistic and just hated women in general because he got in my face and he started screaming at me. Like,
I would be so scared.
Yeah. And I was determined. I was like screaming, slurring, terrible, whatever. Probably 5 minutes on top of his lungs. He's probably like, right. I don't know how many inches away, and screaming. It happened to be the whole car was just women. So I think that that helped. I don't know what was going on. But I like refused to get up. I don't know why. I was like, I'm not going to let you win. Even though I probably should have let him win. It just walked out of the train at the next stop. But then just screaming, I'm going to kill you. And getting in my face. And then a bunch of guys walked on and then he cooled off. Which I was very grateful for those men in that moment. But yeah, thank God. No anti-Semitic things have happened yet. Definitely seen a lot more baseball caps.
Yeah. As a woman, it's a little easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
To hide.
Yeah. Also, there are so many people who are on the subway. It's packed full of people. So as long as you're vigilant, as long as you go at normal times, as long as you know where you're going and you don't have two AirPods in, and stay alert. There's so many people. So hopefully someone will help you if needed, which hopefully won't happen.
But right.
Yeah, so far, it's been okay. Good. Definitely gotten worse. But it's still the most used way of transportation in New York City.
Right. There's not really an option around it.
Yeah. Definitely still take it all the time. I also, that was a new experience for me is when I moved to Brooklyn, I drive. So that was also very new.
Yeah. Driving in New York is a totally different experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the first time I drove, I cried. Let me rephrase. I cried, and I probably did that for, like, the first week.
Wow, yeah.
First time I parallel parked, I cried.
Parallel parking is so hard.
Yeah, it was.
I'm really bad at it.
Yeah, you go to New York, you'll learn real quick.
I mean, you have to, right? Like, anything, if you have to use it, you'll learn.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
It was definitely a learning experience, a very different experience. I remember being so bored when I first moved from Brooklyn. Also, I just graduated college. I didn't know what I was doing with my life. I had this very intricate plan that I had in my head for years and years and years and years. I was going to go to PT school and I was going to do this career and it was going to make me super happy. And that was my whole
identity.
Yeah, kind of. And I shadowed PTs and I almost started working at a PT practice, and it really was my whole identity. And I finished college and I was just like, I don't want to do this right now. I don't want that pressure. And so it was like an identity crisis in a new place that wasn't that exciting. So it definitely was a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely took some adjusting just to kind of get used to, like, it's funny to say because Brooklyn to St. Louis is like
night and day.
Yeah. But for me, it was like boring. I was like, where's after Manhattan? The fun?
Yeah.
And then I learned that like Manhattan was like 40 minutes away.
And you're like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Just a train ride away.
Yeah. And also like it was also really nice to settle down.
Yeah.
I share an apartment with just my sister. So it's a lot. It's not dorm life anymore. It's not like eating chickpeas for dinner for like 2 months straight.
Mm-hmm.
With a car, you can get proper groceries. You can go to the store. You can go where, you know, travel. Like,
oh, grocery shopping. I didn't even think
about that. Yeah, yeah. We used to. Either you would. It's also Manhattan prices. So everything is super inflated. So either you would go to the grocery store right by
mm-hmm.
us, and it was like, I remember the first time I went in and it was $6 for one pair. I was passed out.
For one pair?
Yeah.
God.
And I was like, oh my God.
So I won't be eating
anymore.
Literally. One pair for 1 week. Sounds great.
Exactly.
Just cut into six little slices and I'm good to go.
Exactly. And then we found there's a Trader Joe's like a 15 minute walk.
Oh, bless.
Yeah. Except when you're getting your groceries for a week and you still have to walk all the way back.
So you need to get one of those little shopping carts.
Yes, we did, but we never did it. We never, like, we should have. And we would walk to Trader Joe's and walk back. And when I tell you, like, we would have, like, marks down our arse from the bags. We'd have our backpacks. We'd, like, be numb by the time we came back. It's definitely an experience.
Yeah.
We also starved a lot.
Yeah.
So moving to, like, a more residential. It's so funny to say it.
That,
like,
Brooklyn is residential.
Brooklyn is very residential. But
compared to Manhattan, yeah.
Yes. And also just, like, it was, like, a big transition from, like, being a partier and, like, college life to, like, adulthood and integrating back into a community of, like, families and, like, a lot more settled downness, if that's a word.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of cool. And now it's really nice.
It's like a natural transition, it sounds like.
Yeah. And it was like you settle into routine. It was so hard to be in a routine in Manhattan.
Right.
Because it was just like always flying.
That's a good skill set to learn as well. Because, I think as human beings, we kind of have our comfort. We have our routines. Mm-hmm. We like that. But life has a way of just disrupting those routines. Mm-hmm. So to have the ability to handle yourself in chaos is a really good skill to have.
Definitely learned that skill very well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You're seasoned now.
I'm seasoned.
You're a seasoned New Yorker.
Yeah, now things, I come back here and I'm like, this is what you, this is driving? Like, I really have to move my eyes. like, it's not like weaving in and out and just like,
you don't have to be as aware.
Slow. And I'm like, I do, but there's things I miss. I miss the friendliness. I miss the air. Like, I walked off the plane and I was like, oh, the air.
Wow.
I miss the tree. Even like,
let's say, St. Louis is physically very beautiful, depending on the neighborhood, but
yes. Yeah. But I miss just like the slow pace sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm like, I try to take the slow pace with me. I would never want a place to define who I am.
Yeah.
I definitely have not. I've definitely taken, I don't need to be, I will never be a New Yorker. I don't want to be tight. I don't want to be uncaring of people. But that's also stereotypical because I found so many people in New York to be so lovely, so open.
You know, that's always been my experience. Mm-hmm. And I've only ever gone as a tourist. I've never lived there. But I also think people tend to be a reflection of who you are as well. And so I would always bring that Midwest friendliness. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like even the most rough and tough New Yorker on seemingly so would always be so gracious and lovely.
Yes
That was my experience.
I've really had so many positive experiences. People don't seem like they'll help, but they'll help.
Yeah,
they might not do it in the most friendly way, but they definitely have your back in a certain way. And yeah, you definitely also associate yourself with people who you want to be with.
Yeah.
So I definitely try to do that. I try to be with the same people who I would want to be with in St. Louis. And fun fact, as much as being like in a out of town, open community, there's so much closed-mindedness here as well. Just like any other place.
It's some human mentality.
Exactly. I think. It's not like, oh, in New York, it's going to be X and they're going to be a certain way because it's, you know, this is how it is. And yes, there are stereotypes. We do talk slower. We just do.
We have more time.
We do. We have so much time. Yeah. What's the rush?
All the time in the world.
But it's just like, there's good people and bad people in every community.
Yeah.
And
just got to find your people.
You got to find the good ones.
And don't let them define to you what religion or community is.
No.
Because that's not what makes the religion. And there, you always find your people. You just maybe have to look a little harder.
Yes.
On that note, I really want to get into talking about law of attraction.
Okay.
Because we were kind of touching into that a little bit when we were talking off camera and we caught up. And one thing you said to me that just stuck with me and I loved, but you're like, I'm just so certain that I am God's favorite.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
How did you get into that concept?
That's a good question. I've always felt it. I've always felt like if you have certain feelings about yourself, then those things will be. So if you are thinking in a positive way, then positive things will happen to you. Or if you're thinking, if you're in a negative headspace, then negative things will happen to you. And you definitely see it. It's my whole thing about opportunity also. It all comes back from how your perception of the world is. So if you perceive the world as a positive place, then anytime an opportunity arises, you want to take it because you know it's going to be a positive experience for you.
Yes. That's the key right there.
Yes.
For you. It's happening for you.
Mm-hmm. And it's about perception. And I feel like that has always been my thing has just been how you're going to perceive it. What's your outlook going to be? And I guess with that mindset, and with so many experiences where I should be dead by now. Like, no joke.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Like, I just realized, like, clearly I believe in God, and clearly my God believes in me enough to keep me around.
I love that.
I should be dead.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And after having that realization, I don't know at what point, I'm just like, I must be his favorite. I have to be.
You have to be, yeah.
And that's how I've lived my life ever since. And I literally have arguments about this with people all the time. Anyone who says they're God's favorite, I'm like,
Come on now. I got stories.
Exactly.
I got proof. Yeah.
I've got lots of proof.
Well, in Hebrew, you know this quote, but I'll say for the listeners too, it's Bishvili Nivraha Olam, which means the world was created for me. And it was created for you, Etsy.
It was.
But it was created for everybody else too.
It totally was. But you know, I will fully say I'm main character energy, you know?
I will tell you this. You are the main character in your story, 100%. And what is a great quote for this is, I know, I heard this recently, I thought it was hilarious, and I think you'll love it. I know the world doesn't revolve around me, but my world does.
Yeah, of course.
Period.
Exactly.
The end.
And I would not say I'm egotistical, and I would not say the world
is coming from a grateful place.
Yes. And that's another thing, is that if you have gratitude, you're grateful for everything, you will always just feel like you're the favorite.
Or yeah,
like everything good happens to me because your mind is so trained to be grateful that even in the sad or dark or hard times, you don't see it as that. And it's a really cool skill
It's a skill. That's exactly
it. It's a skill.
It's a practice.
Yes. I remember it was how many years ago? Almost three. 2.5 years ago, my grandmother was really sick and she was dying, actually, at the time. And my mom was with her in where she was in Toronto. And I was home with my dad alone. And it was actually, it was Rosh Hashanah time. And I remember sitting there, like, I like was doing some sort of chore for Yontif because it was coming up. And I was like crying my eyes out because my mom wasn't there and it's just me and my dad. And I was just like so sad and overwhelmed. And I remember in that pain and in that sadness, going through all the things that I was grateful for, and just like it changed my view
and your whole experience.
And yeah, and I and also the other thing, and I think that this is why my mindset is the way it is that I've always been grateful for God. I'm not saying I've never been mad. I've been mad or sad or upset or angry and had feelings towards him because we have a real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always been grateful that he's a part of my journey.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
And I remember in that moment being like, and the same thing is happening again now. with like October 7th and the way that Jews are being, you know, perceived in this time. And it's really confusing and it's really overwhelming and it's really hard to process it. And you can have all the feelings you want to have towards God. It's totally fine. But just to know that, just to be grateful that he's in your life and that he gave you your life today, that is just so empowering, because when things don't seem like how they should in our head, because we have a certain vision of what our life needs to look like, and it doesn't look like that. But when you know God has got you, mm-hmm. and that he has it all figured out and he wants you to have a beautiful life, it gives you this sense of comfort and this sense of reassurance. And that's kind of how I've tried to view it. And it definitely shapes my perspective. And I appreciate my perspective a lot because of it.
It's really special, Ati.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. And that takes a lot of strength and I'm sure a lot of practice to get to that point. In Beis Yaakov, our high school, we had a lot of different speakers. Mm-hmm. And there was one speaker who's a psychologist. I don't remember his name. If you ever listen to this, I'm so sorry. but he said something that my very type A personality back in the day absolutely hated, but it's so true, which is all expectations lead to disappointment. Mm-hmm. And I never understood that at the time, because I was like, well, what do you mean don't have a plan? Don't try. Like, what do you mean don't have expectations? And what he meant was, especially with God, we have plans. And they say, you know, man makes plans and God laughs. I always used to hate that as well. But it's not coming from a vindictive place. It's just that God has created this world for your greatest good. And sometimes your greatest good comes through your hardest times.
Exactly.
And your expectations of how your life should turn out could be totally wrong for you. Mm-hmm. And if you hold on to that and don't trust God's game plan, mm-hmm. then you're just going to have disappointment. And so on my religious journey, one of the things that my thought process was, I was like, okay, let me work on my relationship with God first before I work on anything else, because that's the foundation. Mm-hmm. So I worked on that. And like you said, it was for the first time having that real relationship with God where I cursed him out. I talked to him. I was real. I was raw. Like that was, I cried. I screamed. I was just talked outside of the typical prayers, right?
Yes.
And then once I got past that, I kind of got into this concept of law of attraction, but being Jewish, instead of saying like the universe, I would be like God. Mm-hmm. I always related to like Hashem.
Yes.
And then recently there's been like this natural progression where it found me on Instagram. There's this guy named David Guillaume and he teaches Kabbalah. Mm-hmm. And I took his masterclass, which is free. And it's like a series of classes all about Kabbalah, which I always thought was very woo-woo and esoteric, and you're not supposed to learn until you're like 40 or whatever. But yeah, it kind of fell into my lap, and I was like, why not, mm-hmm. right? And it's really connected to law of attraction, but it's like the next step. So mm-hmm. I feel like there's this been growth orientation where like I might struggle more with like the practical side of Judaism and like the laws and the halachos, but like the spiritual side is what I'm really focusing on right now, and then we'll see where it takes me. But a big part of what it's talking about is that in this world, our souls are supposed to go through this series of challenges to ultimately get connected to our source, mm-hmm. Hashem. And all Hashem wants to do, all God wants to do, is to give you the greatest good ever. And you can speed up that process by opening yourself to be that vessel, to be happier, to see what you focus on. Because I'm sure we all know people who are the most unluckiest people we've ever met in our life. We're not talking about random bad things happening every now and then. It's like one thing after the other. But then you start to notice there are also the people who are always complaining, mm-hmm. always negative, mm-hmm. always looking for the worst case scenario.
Yep.
And it's like, I'm quite certain you're a magnet.
Yeah. I I've definitely had that thought. And I also, when I started my journey through like learning about law of attraction and the same concept, I remember thinking like that exact thought, like people want bad things to happen to them so that they can complain about it. And I don't want to have bad things happen to me. I don't want to complain. No. I don't want bad things. So
here's the trick.
I'm going to shape my thoughts into, this isn't bad. This is just hard.
Yeah.
And yeah, that definitely changed my perspective because I totally had the same exact thought as you. I was like, huh, I don't want to be miserable all the time. Like,
yeah,
I don't need that. I want to be my best, healthiest, happiest self all the time. And believe me, there's still times I'm miserable and there's definitely times where we all kind of have low slopes. And I definitely am a big believer in seasons and we all have different seasons. And in every season, you're going to experience life in a slightly different way. But for the most part, why would you want to live a miserable life when you could live the exact same life in the most beautiful way?
Love it.
Yeah.
It's so true. I'm going to link the masterclass for the Kabbalah if anyone wants to check it out. it's a donation based. I'm not associated with them at all, but if you want to sponsor me, you can. I love the class. I would love to continue taking the classes. I'm still in the middle of taking the masterclass, but I'll leave you with one little chicken nugget, which is that whenever you're going through something challenging, whether it's a person or experience or something, pause. That is the biggest thing you can do. Do not react. Practice the pause. And then the next level is say, what a blessing. Mm-hmm. This is happening for my purpose to either help me grow or there's something good that's going to come out of it that I don't see yet, but life is happening for me. Now, I have this tradition. Mm-hmm. We've shared so many insights on this podcast.
Okay.
But this is all based on the Hebrew quote, which is Ezehu Chacham, Halo made me call Adam, which means one who is wise is one who learns from everyone. And we have learned so much from you. But if you can give us one last life lesson or quote that was meaningful to you.
Huh. That's a good question. Honestly, I think the thing that I was thinking about this as I was walking over here this morning. And it actually has to do with you. We definitely knew each other from our times in first or youth groups and then with going to shul on the night. But the one thing that you never touched on is the fact that we started running together a very long, long time ago. It didn't last that long together.
No, it didn't.
But what it did is it started my running journey. I still run. I'm literally about to run.
No way. I didn't know this.
Yeah. And it also sparked my love for movement and exercise and a whole part of me that I would have probably never known. I mean, I went to the gym, but like not the same way and not the same love and passion for movement as I did once I started running. So I guess what I was thinking about it today, and it ties into everything that we were saying, is that if someone offers you an opportunity, something that seems like a growth opportunity, take it. Because if you view the world with the mindset of God wants to do everything good for me and God's got my back, then every opportunity that you can take, and sometimes you have to say no and you have to learn that balance. But if you can take that opportunity, take it because you have no idea where that's going to lead you. You have no idea what that one tiny, oh, you want to go for a run with me, will do to a person and what that will change them into.
So cool.
Yeah. And it's happened so many times, like so many experiences in my life. If I would have said no, I would not be where I am or who I know or my life just because I didn't take that opportunity. And I think that we can get complacent sometimes and comfortable with our life. And it's hard because it is so much easier to be lazy and to be safe. And I think it's just important to get out there and just try new things and to experience life in a new way and just say yes more.
Say yes to life, kids.
Yeah.
That's I am.
Say yes to life. That's my attitude. And I've only seen so much blessing from saying yes. And yeah.
Yay. I'm so proud of you. It's yeah. Guys, I've known her since she was like 13. And now she's 23. Like,
wow, a decade.
It doesn't feel like it's not past, like, I don't know. Yeah. We've talked about this before. Even though I was like in a big sister role, we've always felt more like friends.
Yeah.
It's just 5 years. What's 5 years among What's five friends? Years? Yeah.
5 years isn't that much anymore.
Nah. Never really was.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, this has been a great episode. Thank you, Etsy, so much for coming on. Thank you for having me. Absolutely.
This was fun.
Yeah, it was great. So now she has two podcasts under her belt.
Two podcasts.
Do you want me to have people link to see the other one? Never mind. We won't do that. We'll talk. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. But either way, I'll link the Kabbalah class. You guys can find me on all of the socials. And also we are on the video is on YouTube and Spotify. But you can really find this podcast everywhere where there are podcasts. So share with a friend. Leave a 5-star review. And we'd love to hear back from you. And if anyone has a great story, DM me at Jew from the Lou on Instagram. All right, you guys, this has been another fabulous episode. The lovely Etsy Graf.
Thank you.
I hope you guys have a great week. Let's get it. Let's go.